Let us pray. Lord God, through the instruction of John the Baptist, we ask your grace and blessings as we are all called out into the desert to hear the voice of the one who will awaken us to our Christian conscience, challenge our complacency, and move our lives into events of sharing the abundance of your gifts, O Lord. May this Advent season move us to a renewal of our Christian expectations and an appreciation of the true magnitude of the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The third Sunday of Advent traditionally has a focus on joy. And indeed, the texts for this Sunday speak of joy. On this Gaudete Sunday, third pink candle. On this Gaudete Sunday, as people redeemed and restored, we rejoice in our God who is so deeply embedded in our lives. We who are wondrously and inexplicably God's beloved, joyously celebrate the experience of knowing we are unconditionally loved. That God does not watch from a distance, but enters into our actual daily living. That we are walking miracles. Each of us a walking resurrection to live out his expectations, not ours. People, here at Redeemer, we have committed ourselves to a fidelity to Scripture. We strive for clarity in our sharing, preaching, and teaching that we might reach both believers and unbelievers with the gospel. And perhaps, most importantly, together, we help each other achieve a personal relationship with Jesus. Our expectations become his expectations. In short, we discover Christ's joy in ourselves, and our enjoying is his enjoying. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. John 15:11. I am about to tell you a story. A true Christmas story. As it occurred almost 60 years ago, the details and the points of reference have benefited from time and reflection. Each year, each Advent, I become more aware that he comes to us out of the wilderness of our lives, not to baptize us with water, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is an emotional story for me to share. So I ask your understanding. Our life stories for each of us are very powerful, aren't they? You may hear me speak of my dad. Well, that's my dad. Or you may hear me reference my mom. And that's my mom. But sometimes I will refer to my father, probably our heavenly father. And when I say my mother, there is little doubt I reference the blessed mother of Jesus, Mary. I have it on very good authority that it's okay for Anglicans to like Mary. Now, how do I know that? My mother told me. You will also hear me describe specifics and circumstances in my unique story, but they also have equally compelling relevance in your story. So open your mind and maybe hear both stories at the same time. My story and your story. Metaphorical, but instructive. It was the late 1950s, and I was 12 years old. One of my teachers had discovered in me an aptitude for science, and she had contacted my parents suggesting that she be allowed to connect me with a mentor who could mentor me as I actually worked in a real laboratory. My parents discussed this with me. Shortly, the lead bacteriologist for the Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C., actually came to our home and met with me on a Saturday. He carried a large briefcase and a black square box. My parents and I were amazed as he unloaded a real microscope and a number of petri dishes and slides and shared with us microscopic views of bacteria at 950 and 1400 levels of magnification. Right there in our home, on the dining room table. Unforgettable. We discussed the possibilities and details of the mentoring experience, and soon thereafter, with time off once a week from school, I began half-day visits to the government labs just a short drive over the Potomac from our residence in Arlington, Virginia. Yes, it was the 1950s, and there was no traffic in D.C. And my mom made sure I got there and picked me up at the end of the day. My mother has always been the overseer of those day-to-day details in my life. My mentor and I engaged in basic fundamental research, investigating enzyme toxicity and exploring possibilities for bacteriological applications. That work 60 years ago has actually had an impact on your life today. I was involved in ongoing research, conducting experiments, followed by careful note-taking, and I loved it. Soon, I even began to bring bacterial specimens home so I could more carefully monitor the work and conduct timely observations. My mother made sure I had all that I needed. Sometimes, however, I would have to take the bus home from D.C. And there I was, sitting on the bus with a wire rack of stoppered test tubes rattling in my lap. Friends, don't try this in public transportation today. My father also made sure I had what I needed. My dad had built me a small laboratory in the basement, equipped with an incubator for temperature control and even a real gas Bunsen burner for sterile bacterial transfers. My father listened to me. He heard me. He supported me. He was allowing me to realize what I could be. The lab work was demanding. My school studies took on meaning, and even my grades improved. And there was, I sensed, a different relationship between myself and my parents. This is the nature of nurturance. When you are doing a good thing, the right thing, you can feel your mother and father because they are with you. One day, my dad came to me and asked if it would not be better if I had a microscope at home to conduct this work. We discussed it. Now, sisters and brothers, my dad was a hard-working commercial artist. And while he was in considerable demand, we were probably what you would call good blue-collar people. I knew there was no way my dad could buy such a thing. I mean, there I was, using some of the finest optics available over at the Department of Agriculture. But you could do more, even conduct your own research if you had one, he suggested. But I knew that sometimes things are what they are. I had been working with my mentor for about a year. when my parents and I went up to New Jersey during August to visit some relatives. Now, I'll bet there are some of you who have heard about the place that I went in New Jersey, because if you were a science geek, really into science, you knew the only real science equipment supply company in America was Edmunds Scientific. And my dad and I were going to spend a Saturday there. To go to Edmunds Scientific was for me like a pilgrimage. This was the center of all that was neat science stuff. I will always remember the moment I walked into the door of that place. Wow. It was all there. Laboratory glassware, chemicals, electronic equipment, telescopes, and yes, microscopes. They even had a microscope display room. We entered the room and a salesman greeted us at a large table where there was displayed a beautiful big microscope with a spotlight on it. He explained that this was the top-of-the-line professional microscope used by research laboratories, universities, and scientific institutes. He demonstrated its capabilities: two-step staging, built-in lighting, dark field illumination capability, 35mm camera ready, oil immersion, and so on. I was overwhelmed. It was like going to look at a Chevrolet and they showed you a Ferrari. I explained to the salesman the research work I was doing and what my microscope needs were, and he had just the thing. He showed us this superb student general purpose microscope, often used by med students in small laboratories. It could do everything I really needed it to do: high powered magnification, oil immersion, and so forth. It was perfect, but it was really expensive. And I understood what kind of finances my family had. I was under no illusions. I knew I would not leave Edmunds Scientific that day with a microscope. But what a wonderful day it was to share the possibilities and the promise of dreams with my father. You know, we should do that more with him. Spend more time. Share our dreams and our hopes. Reveal our expectations. Sisters and brothers, my dad, like so many men at that time in our country's history, had spent 4 years overseas during the war. Maybe that's why he held his family paramount. Looking back, I think I understood that my dad had seen so much during the war that he knew what the most important things in life were. People, every Saturday was mine. My dad spent it with me. We did things, went places, we spent time together. Often he would be there with me for hours helping me in that small home lab. It is a wonderful thing to spend time with your father. But you have to let him spend time with you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer reminded us that it was not so much that we seek the Holy Spirit, but that we allow the Holy Spirit to find us and rest within us. Shortly after I returned from New Jersey that summer, my Saturdays with my dad stopped. They were no longer mine. My mom was always supportive. She made sure all things worked out as they should. She guided and she consoled. After all, my mom was the parent of a teenager. I came to realize later in my own life that parenting a teenager was sufficient for Satan. As the weeks passed by, my dad seemed further and further away. But I was no dummy. The thought struck me when I eventually realized, I'll bet he's working overtime to buy me that microscope. It was a cold thought, But in reality, I did want that microscope. People in my life, I have at times been the king of wants. And it became obvious to me that my wants had separated us. But my father's absence in my life, I thought just might be worth getting that microscope. Oh, I remember thinking what I could do if I just had that microscope. Soon it was Christmas Eve. And under the tree there was a package. It was just the right size, and I knew then I was going to get my microscope. But by that time I had begun to probably regret that microscope. My dad had sacrificed so much to provide it for me, and there it was under the tree, and I felt horribly about what he had been through to provide me this unbelievable gift. My wants had separated me from my father. That Christmas morning, my mom set the large box in front of me to unwrap. I removed the paper and opened the plain cardboard box. It was not the student microscope. It was the big professional microscope. And the rest of the story, I'll tell you the rest of the story. Sisters and brothers, our beloved Lord Jesus Christ is about to be born anew in your heart. I don't know what you expect this Christmas morning, but your Father has sacrificed beyond your wildest imaginings just for you. And if you're like me, I have kept him away far too long by separating him from my life with all my worldly wants and imagined necessities, and even important chaotic follies. This Christmas, he delivers to each of us the big professional microscope, the impossible gift, the one that enables us to really see, the one that enables us to discover things beyond our wildest dreams. The gift we get this Christmas morning is the reality that Christ sacrificed for us and gave us through his love, divine assurance and inner anchorage of truth and security in a world of ever-changing conditions and turbulent, destructive values. There is no longer any unbridgeable gulf between heaven and earth, between our daily lives and the expectations of our God. Oh no. The same God who placed the stars and the moon in the sky chose to be born under them for us.
Amen.
The baby Jesus lying helpless in his crib brings us the infinite Christ, the light of eternal love and reality of eternal life. Yes, this Christmas morning, when you wake up, the gift will be there, waiting for you to unwrap in your life, to hold so preciously for the sacrifice it required, that gift of pure love. Sisters and brothers, as the Gospels teach us in so many ways, when you ask, expect to receive. When you seek, expect to find. When you knock, expect the door to be opened. The reason for this is that if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we now have God as our Heavenly Father, and he is a giver of good gifts beyond our hopes. And Christmas is coming, and he will be born yet again in our very souls, and nothing will be impossible for us. Let us pray. Dear God, we turn with expectation to you this Advent season and pray that you allow something wonderful begin in us, something surprising and holy. May your hand be upon us and your love fill us. Let your joy overwhelm us and our expectations of a life with you be fulfilled. We ask you, God, to prepare the way of our hearts to receive the gift of your Son. Oh God, there he is way off in the distance, coming out of the wilderness of our lives to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you. We pray this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.